God's work on the fifth day. Genesis 1:20. And God said, Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, etc., etc. We see Moses retains invariably the same sacred phraseology, and God said, etc. Hitherto, he has been speaking of the superior creatures, the heaven with all its host of planets and stars, which God created out of water by the word, and gave light unto it, just as we now see the air around us lucid with a natural illumination. Moses now proceeds to speak of new creatures also produced out of the waters, namely, of birds and fishes. He connects these two creatures in his narrative on account of their similarity of nature. For, as the fish swims in the water, so does the bird swim, as it were, in the air. Though their flesh differs, yet they have the same origin. For the sacred text is here quite plain, that the birds were created out of the waters, immediately flew into the air, where they now live. Moses here retains, moreover, his uniform term in calling the whole region above us heaven. And first, it is worthy of admiration that, although the fishes and the birds were both created out of the same matter, the waters, yet as the bird cannot live in the water, neither can the fish exist if brought into the air. Physicians rightly argue when they affirm that the flesh of birds is more wholesome than that of fishes, even though the nature of birds is also aqueous, because they live in a more rarefied element. For air is a purer element than water, the latter, in which the fish are generated and live, being constituted of the dregs, as it were, of the former. Philosophers, however, do not believe this identity of the nature of birds and of fishes, but the faith of the sacred scriptures, which is far above philosophy and far more certain, assures us that the nature of the fish and of the bird had the same origin. Here again is a further proof of the divine authority and majesty of this book, in that it sets before us, under such various forms, that power of God by which he created all things, beyond the conception of all reason and understanding. Who, for instance, could have ever thought that out of water a nature could be produced, which should by no means endure water? But the word of God speaks, and in a moment, out of water, are created birds. If therefore the word of God but sound, all things are immediately possible, and out of the same water shall be formed either fishes or birds. Every bird, therefore, and every fish is nothing more or less than a word of divine grammar or language, by which grammar all things, otherwise impossible, immediately become possible and easy, by which all things contrary and conflicting become similar and harmonious, and vice versa. But these divine things are thus written and ought to be diligently observed, studied, and known by us, that we might learn to admire and adore the power of the divine majesty, and that we might edify and strengthen our faith from all these marvelous creation works of God. For if one could raise the dead, it would be nothing in comparison to this wonderful work, that a bird was created in a moment out of water. But the reason we do not, day by day, and continually wonder at these things, is because, by our having seen them always before us, they have lost their wonder in our eyes. If, however, one does but believe these things, he is compelled at once to wonder at them, and that wonder gradually confirms his faith. For if God can form a mass of water, call forth and create the heaven and its stars, each one of which equals or exceeds the earth itself in magnitude, if God can, from a small drop of water, create the sun and the moon, can he not defend my poor body against all enemies and against Satan himself? Can he not, after that poor body is laid in the tomb, raise it again to another and a new life? Wherefore, we are to learn from this book of Genesis the power of God, that we may accustom ourselves to doubt nothing that God promises in his word. For, in this glorious and marvelous creation work is laid a confirmation of our faith in all the promises of God, that there is nothing so difficult, nothing so impossible, which God cannot do and perfect by His Word. For all this is here proved by God's creation of the heaven, earth, sea, and all that is in them. But we must here touch upon that which has arrested the attention of the Holy Fathers, and especially of Augustine, that Moses, in this sacred narrative, uses these three expressions in reference to God: God said, God made, and God saw, as if God designed by these three expressions used by his servant Moses to set forth the three persons of the divine majesty. Thus, by the expression said is signified the Father. The Father begat the Word from all eternity, and by this same Word he made in time this world. And these holy fathers applied the expression God made to the person of the Son, for the Son has in himself the express image of the person of the Father, not only of his majesty, but of his power, by which he created all things. Hence, the Son gives to all things their existence. And as by the Father things are spoken into being, so are they also by the Son, or the Word of the Father, by whom all things subsist. And to these two persons is also added a third, the person of the Holy Spirit, who sees and approves all things which are created. These three expressions, therefore, said, made, saw, are spoken by Moses in a beautiful and appropriate manner as attributive of the three divine persons, that we might, by these three expressions, the more distinctly understand that great article of faith, the Holy Trinity. For the sole reason these props of our faith were religiously sought by the Holy Fathers, that the profound subject, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, so incomprehensible in itself, might in some measure receive aid to its comprehension. Wherefore, I by no means condemn these pious attempts, because they are perfectly in harmony with the analogy of faith, and most useful also for the instruction and confirmation of faith. In this manner, Hilary also distinguishes other attributes. Eternity is in the Father, form in the image, and use in the gift. He says that the Holy Spirit is the gift for use, because he gives the use of all things, in that he governs and preserves all things, that they perish not. The same fathers hold and affirm also, the Father is the mind, the Son the understanding, the Holy Ghost the will. Not that the Father is without understanding, or the Son without will, but these are attributes, that is, terms or expressions, which are not applicable to three divine persons collectively, but to the one or the other divine person separately or differently. Not, as we have said, that the Father is without wisdom, etc. But we thus portray and present these divine things to our minds, that we may better hold and explain the article of faith on the Holy Trinity. When, therefore, the sacred text says, "And God saw that it was good," the divine expression implies God's intended preservation also of the thing which he had in each case just created. For the creature itself, thus newly created, could not stand unless the Holy Spirit should love it, and unless this complacency of God in his own work should preserve that work. For God did not thus create these things, designing to forsake them when created, but he approves them and loves them still. The great Creator, by his divine agency, still simultaneously stirs, moves, and preserves, after his own godlike method, all things which he hath made. I deemed it right thus briefly to touch upon these sacred matters, for the godly thoughts of those who have preceded us in this holy study, and whose course we are ourselves pursuing, are well worthy our knowledge. The expression in the above text, which Jerome renders "the creeping creature that hath life," is in the original Hebrew nephesh, and signifies a soul, or life, or something living. Moses calls fishes by this name. With reference to birds, it is well known that they are amphibious. That is, they live either on land or in the air.